You know, Frank, you'd think with three Porsches in a class and a bunch of nice vehicles, you know, coming up. I just had a class in Colorado. We got three nice, beautiful Porsches on three beautiful sunny days. There would at least be one Rolex in the crowd. But there was no Rolexes, Frank. I was very disappointed in this course.
It's a good thing you bring extra.
Great class, but a little bit disappointed.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome to the Everyday Sniper. You got Frank from Snipers. Hoyt!
Staff Sergeant Taylor.
And I'm here talking about, my thing is not working. Like, these levels aren't working. This is so weird. But anyway, it shows that it's working. I feel as much lead as we feed the wind gods, that they would cut us a little bit of slack.
They did not cut us any slack this weekend. Guys always say, I want to learn to shoot the wind. Well, these cats learn to shoot the wind, buddy.
These cats learn to shoot in the wind, man. If you want to learn to shoot in the wind, you come to Colorado. If you don't believe me, just look at the news from the last month. So we had actually really, really good conditions. We've taken over the Fort Morgan range, as I've mentioned, and we're starting to put on some classes, and we're going to do our monthlies and expand from there. But anyway, Fort Morgan range, the wind. First day, it was blowing pretty good. We had the classroom, so it's not too bad, but it was up there. It was
blowing 12 o'clock.
Yeah, it was into the, it was coming, well, the, when we set up, that was the day we set up. So Mark and I go out there to set up. This was crazy. So we go out there to set up, and it's full blown 25 plus miles an hour. And we were painting the targets and doing some stuff. And as we were walking back, because the wind was coming straight down the range, but as we were walking back, I said, we need to film a 100-yard dash because I know we're going to win.
4-6.
Yeah, it was totally great. But so the first day of class, guys roll up, great bunch of guys, really good stuff, really good equipment. And we got like 18-mile-an-hour winds. So it's trucking. It's doing that. We do our PowerPoint. We do our zero wing fundamentals and fix that. And I know the wind's going to be off and our zero is going to be off a little bit because the wind's just cranking. But we got guys out there shooting and we're doing that. So then Saturday, just real quick on the wind part. Saturday, the wind's actually pretty good. It's not too bad. It's mellow. Where were we? Maybe a 10-mile-an-hour? 8 to 10?
Yes, 8 to 10.
8 to 10 on Saturday. It wasn't really anything to worry about at all.
It was instructive and constructive.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And we got some really, really good shooting in. The guys were out to a grand by noon, roughly, you know, so they were really Johnny on the spot. With
actually, 11:25 grand was a little, it got a little bit to be a little bit of mirage.
But oh,
11:25,
yeah,
took us above that one step, and they scored at 11:25.
Yeah, what we did, that's correct, that's correct. So when we got to the 1,000, the heat was coming up. It was about 80-degree day, and you know, the mirage starts kicking in, and we're in a defilade. There's a hole where the 1,000 yard target is. And so anyway, it's hard to see.
Got to move that target.
Yeah, we're actually, I already took care of that. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But so it's hard to see. The mirage is covering any dust. So you could hardly see the dust to begin with, mainly because it's in that defilade, but you could see a little bit of it. However, once the mirage came up, you can't see it at all. And so we really had no clue left, right, you know, and the winds are pretty sporty. They're not bad, but they're 8 to 10. And we're shooting 1,000 yards. We got a couple 308s in the class. So that is a factor as well. And, we kind of went to 11:25 because that target's easier to see, less mirage, less issues. And so 11:25, everybody was right on.
Agreed.
Yep. So that worked out really well. But first day, second day fundamentals. What are you thinking about what you're seeing with people?
I'm seeing a lot less error. I told them in the debrief today, I said, man, you guys are making me a bystander. You know, by day three, I'm just becoming a bystander. You know,
yeah.
My job's pretty much done. I think I'm done here, Frank, and Frank's calling good wind. So we moved them out a little bit. Now, first of all, Jack Master joined us on day two.
Yeah, we got to talk Ted. Definitely,
we'll talk. That's a whole different story.
That's a whole thing with Ted, yeah, which we'll get into in a minute because we had Ted Hager out there. And he did a class for us on his yard line turret adjustment. And that was fantastic. The guys loved it. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But yeah, talk about going out to distance and just how fast and how well these guys progressed.
Man, we had 308s at a mile. You know, we had six mils at a mile.
You got a 308s? I didn't even see you do that.
Yeah, that was up. That's what we were saying, 308s at a mile.
Oh, okay.
We took them all the way out to a mile.
I know, because Mark went over to the other side.
Shooting about 4 mils a wind, but that was today, which today we had heavy.
Heavy wind. We heavy. Had Talk 4 about that. To 24 mile an hour gusts today. And I want to get into that later, but 4 to 24 mile an hour gusts. And within a 2 minute read, it went from 4 to 24. Now the average, it was coming down to 10 and averaging around 10 to 12, and then jumping up to that 18. And then we'd get the spikes up to 24. But man, the wind gods were angry again this weekend out here in Colorado. But yeah, so talk about, well, first off, you kind of think the videos and the podcasts and, you know, the media that we put out has a pretty large bearing on how well these guys are shooting.
Every course gets easier, not easy to instruct, because the students come more prepared.
Yeah. And I do think, I mean, the fundamental eval, I mean, you get a couple guys who sign up who really don't, you know, hang on the internet. But the fundamental evals, man, they're looking really smooth, good yeah. In the beginning.
It went pretty smooth.
Yep. So that was allowed us to march these guys out fast, easy, effective, you know, stuff like that. So it was really, really good to get them out. So then, yeah, we ended up this afternoon.
I took them up to the steel benches to get them off the ground, because they've been on the ground for 2 days. And so we went up to steel benches, which have enough square portion to them that they can square off. And I said, we started at 8. Just get everybody on the chewing bar at 8, so to make sure that they understood what's going on. And we had about a mil and a half at 8, you know, depending on the caliber.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, then we just started marching on. I said, let's do the 11:25, and we marched it all the way out to a mile. Had a great time.
I knew you were shooting far at that point. So then guys were leaving Mark, and they started coming down to me, and they wanted some more poke. So I went out, actually tuned up. I was bringing them the 13. The 1250, 1325, then the cows had killed my 1425, so I haven't fixed that yet. They bent it completely over on the T-post. So we went 1250, 1325, and then we went to 15, 1600, and I went out and tuned those targets up and painted them up and outlined them. The sun is so bright and everything. When you do them white and in the afternoon, I got to outline them and do like a shading outline so you can even see them. Otherwise, it's really tough for some scopes to see those targets. But yeah, everybody got hits at 1500 and beyond.
Yeah. We had a jailbreak. We had a cow get out of
the... Oh, that was a calf. I didn't realize. I thought they were in the...
It freaked me out, because I'm like, we're going to spend the rest of the afternoon chasing
after that cow. And that wasn't our... Because the calves, every now and then the cows, they were in the other pasture, not in our pasture. But they can get through the fence pretty easy. I mean,
But we left a gate open, and we saw him go through the gate.
Yeah, because he came through the fence on our side and probably... But they were all in that corner. But yeah, it wasn't as big a deal as originally, you know... I thought there might have been a bull or something in our field, but when they said it was a calf.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there.
I just wanted to make sure the bull didn't try to leave to go around.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and that was, but it, when she said it was a calf, I was like, oh, no big deal. But that's not on us.
When we first got there this morning, we had so much right wind that it was blowing sand and dust everywhere. We had to go hide behind the connexes and build a new firing position. And so we went to the, what direction, Frank? South.
Yes. South.
Yeah, we shot to the south, went out there, put a T-post, and did our alternate positions on that T-post. And I think that was a really good exercise today. It threw us a curveball, but we handled it pretty smoothly.
Yes.
We lost no time in it.
Yeah, to set that up. So now when we showed up first thing in the morning, the 24-mile-an-hour winds were full strength. I mean, we woke up to hardcore wind. So the winds were full strength. So now we're on the line. I'm planning on doing positional. And I got 24-mile-an-hour winds. It's going to blow the shooters all over the place, you know, regardless of how nice the target package is out there. I mean, because we got hundreds of pieces of steel. The wind was just crazy. However, Mark's like, hey, he goes behind the connex. And we got the big, the U-shape of connexes. And he goes behind the connex. And he's like, hey, dude, if we go here, we're blocked from the wind. You know, the wind's not going to see us. And we'll go back there and, yep, absolutely, wind's blocking us really good. And it's coming at our back now. So really, we have a...
It's not as destructive. Right. I mean, when you're going to get them off their bellies, you got to sort of play along.
We technically have a tailwind, right? So, you know, that works good. I bring the tank track up over. We set up a bunch of tripods, different bags, tripod bags, tripods, tank trap, stuff like that.
That's where Ted jumped in.
Yes.
And gave a big hand or big help.
So
he had some good ideas. He had some really good ideas.
Ted's competing a lot, you know, and he's doing a lot of stuff in the Iowa region and competes in the Gym C stuff and all that. And so he has a little bit of some tips and tricks and things. And so he was able to lend a huge amount of assistance on the positional because, I mean, he's a recent competitor. I went and shot Pawnee last week. But, you know, by no means am I lighting the stages on fire. I'm doing well, holding my own. And I shot the Valkyrie at the Pawnee match with Chris and everything. Way and I went and shot it. But Ted's a pretty consistent competitor.
And I compensated him. Mm-hmm. We went to the steakhouse Saturday night. Yeah. Had a big old 18-ounce ribeye and the biggest baked potatoes you've ever seen. They take up half the plate.
Mm-hmm.
And I limited him to the kids' menu, but I did buy him dinner.
You did buy him dinner. Yeah. It was a 6-ounce steak, but you got him a
and some macaroni and cheese.
And cheese. But Ted, I mean, Ted's so great. So he steps in, he takes over on the positional stuff. Now the pro thing is I have like local resource, fantastic guy, AA Targets, Austin Angus. He's right up the road from me. And so Austin came down right about the same time yesterday that we were, you know, getting ready to finish up and do some stuff. And we had two wooden barricade jungle gyms, whatever you want to call it. Two of them on the range, and they had barricades on either side. They had a roof simulator and then a flat platform. So you had two sets of barricades and roof simulator platform. We had two of them. Well, a year ago, the wind destroyed one, and this year, I just came out and destroyed the second one. So these are like 600, 800 pound freaking wooden jungle gyms. And they're getting picked up on our range and destroyed. So Austin comes out, who does all my targets. And I ordered up a bunch of steel barricades. So I ordered three steel barricades. We're seeing about getting some tires. I ordered more tank traps. So two more buckles so we'll have three tank traps. So I'm going to create a whole sort of compy positional. Let's play with this stuff in video and do all the things. And then Wei Wei can do his stuff. I can do my stuff, and we can go from there. And but that worked out really well. So as Mark had mentioned, Ted comes in. So Ted comes in mid-morning on Friday. And he brings us a poster that he did for the Iowa.
Weaponized math.
Yeah, yep. The weaponized math poster. So that was really cool. And he framed it, everything, put it up, hung it in the Connex. Fantastic. It's on Facebook. Everybody's digging it. We'll probably sell the poster. Framing's extra. You'll have to do it yourself.
Yeah, you're going to have to do that.
Yeah, we ain't going to do that. So that was pretty cool. So I don't know, Mark, you want when we do, after we doped everybody with, you know, we doped them out to 1125, like Mark said. Well, the next thing we do is we run them out to 600 and back with the reticle. So we do, we basically repeat your dope with the reticle is one of the evolutions. Then we put on 400 and have you shoot 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all using the reticle. So the first time you shoot 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you're just repeating your dope and holding over like anything else. The second time we're putting a 400-yard zero on the gun, just dialing our 400-yard dope, point of aim, point of impact. We're doing the math, and then so you know when you hold under, you know you'd hold under like, you know, like 1 mil under for 2, a half mil under for 3, you know, 1 mil over for 5, 2 mils over for 6, kind of thing like that. So we do that drill. And now we have Ted here. And Ted has been working on part of it. What he did is he expanded, like we've talked with Chris Roberts and the CR2 guys and the Army thing with their speed drop. And as you remember, the Army kind of wanted to work within like 300 and 800 yards and a way to not really do dope. And so they kind of had a speed drop, but the way they looked at doing the speed drop was to dial your scope under to hold in the reticle so it's fast, it's rapid. So that makes it where, you know, if I dial, you got to slip your scales if you have a zero stop or anything, but you have to move it like 2 mils under. It changes for each caliber. If you're a slow gun, it's like 1.5. If you're a faster gun, it's like 2.5. And you got to be under. And then you can hold the reticle on the yard line. So if you see a target at 4.30, you hold 4.3, you'll hit that target. But there's a little bit that has to go into that if you do it that way. However, Ted built these charts and created this method where he brings it the other direction. He slips his zero while still keeping his zero, so he slips his scale the other way. He makes the zero be your 2.5, and then you can... So now what you would do is from your zero point on your turret, you just slip the scale. And like I was running the Maven scope, real nice, been talking about that. I'm running the Maven, so it's toolless. I just loosen it, slide it over to the 2.5, tighten it, put it down, and then go to zero. So now I can do this drill. But the cool thing is you can dial or hold the way Ted's doing it. So basically, you can go up and say, okay, there's a target, and it's 550 yards. And you just put 5.5 on the gun. Or you can dial it down to your zero stop, you know, because you go zero and then you go under back to your zero stop. And you can then use the reticle. So you can go either way. So it's
so you'd be holding 5.5 mils.
Right. You would hold 5.5 mils up in the reticle. So you can do it in the sort of speedy way. You can do it in the dialy way. But it blends into our reticle work that we're doing. And it allows you to use the yard line. And so it's a yard line turret slip. And you slip that turret up. You go and it resets your dials. And it's really just a simple slip.
Creating a bullet drop compensator that lines up with the even numbers on your scope. Or not the even
now,
numbers.
Now, the key thing is it only works within a range. And Ted created really, really, really good charts.
Detailed charts.
Detailed. That then expand the range because his chart can show you the offsets. Because it falls off on the edges. Like the middle is tight, the edges fall off. And it only works within like the 350, 300 to 800 in most cases. However, what Ted does is he gives you like all the information where you find out if you slip a row over using his charts, you may be a tenth off every yard line. But now you've expanded the number of yard lines you can use. And it's a super red, green visual X out. Like this is bad, this is good, it's red or it's green. And I really do think his chart is phenomenal as well. He's expanded. I don't know if you saw, Mark. Did he show you he expanded the weaponized math charts to square ones and different?
Yes.
With that?
And did a reverse. He didn't know I already did the reverse. We just don't sell it. I mean, we just don't talk about it. But yeah, we did a reverse as well. So it also works backward from 1,000.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, really good stuff there.
Yeah, we had a really mathematic technical weekend. It was refreshing. To get a new face in, you know, and just some new information. I had a really good time with it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's another tool in the toolbox. It expanded the work that was done previously. And kind of it's funny because, you know, the Army was looking at it where it's like, well, if they get the night force, you could slip the zero stop on the night force and you can create this secondary zero where the zero on the turret is your zero, but then you move your zeros up. Zero stop down to your speed drop, then you just bury that and then you can use the reticle. However, with Ted's turret slip as well as the charts that he made, you can then expand this process and have a larger range, a little bit more ear. And now Ted used this during the NRL Hunter match in Iowa. And he had a great job, good showing, worked well. And then you just laser rangefinder the target. And whatever the laser rangefinder says, the first two numbers are what you dial on the gun, you're going to hit that target within the zone. You know, and like the Colin Fossen match here in Wyoming doesn't go beyond 800 yards. You can totally use this method within...
Without a dope card.
Right, without a dope card in that. No dope card. You just use this yard line. And there's articles on Sniper's Hide. There's posts on the forum. And Ted explains this. It's a really cool tool. It's been expanded out really well to give you additional information. It's giving you the option to work in both directions, to dial or to hold. And, you know, it's just a yard line turret slip. And I think it's pretty darn cool. I mean, that's not what we don't even know what to call it, because they call their thing the speed drop. And this isn't really the speed drop.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
It's similar, but not the same.
I mean, it kind of piggybacked off of where they were going, but they didn't go far enough. And so now they've kind of gotten it all the way flushed out to where, like I said, complemented with Ted's charts. It's a really great tool. And then like with these toolless turrets, boom, you know, piece of cake.
He's sort of like a geek, like a math geek. He likes numbers and spreadsheets and shit. And it's just, I gave him a little bit of shit because he's using Google instead of numbers or you know, whatever. You know.
Well, because that's one of the things. And here's one of those hidden gems that Sniper's Hide in. We have the weaponized math charts. We have the miles per hour gun charts. We have the, you know,
Rosetta
chart, that offset for the win. We have the dope charts that kind of play into both. There's the mill conversion charts. And Ted is the one building all these charts, really, that are for free on Sniper's Hide. You know, you go to Airbnb, you download them. They're all available. Well, now he's creating, you know, even more. And this is like one of those great resources for both here out in Colorado, you come because you could do that, and he's really close to get here. But yeah, I mean, I think it's some good stuff.
Right? It was added value is what it was, Frank.
Yeah, added value. I mean, these guys got their money's worth in the class. I mean, they're shooting out to a mile. They're getting all these different wind looks. We shot multiple directions. We shot, you know, we shot west, we shot south. You could, you know, we could do different things. And it's just, it is what it is. It's a
high density altitude is good for at this location at Fort Morgan, because we can take those 308s farther than they normally would go.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you're down there at sea level, and we had somebody travel from Florida.
Brett was from Florida.
Yeah. I mean, so basically, if you're at sea level and you're thinking, what's the other side of the world like, the other side being the high elevation shooters, here you go. It's a perfect venue, man. The food, the eating's good, the dining's good. The hotels are clean. We heard the hotels are really clean.
Hotels are
so
new.
So we're
going to
turn this
new
into a really a cool destination course, Fred.
I mean, there's four brand new hotels within the exit of the... I mean, on our exit, there's two. You can kind of come the back way from the Fairfield Inn, but then you could go one exit away, which is like literally 5 seconds, and there's two new brand new hotels there. But everybody stays like the Hampton Inn. They'll give you a discount if you tell them you're a shooter. And it's 15 minutes straight shot to the range. It's one turn. Yep. You come out of the parking lot, you go straight, and you turn into our road, and that's it.
Fly to Denver. All routes lead to Denver.
Yeah, I mean,
airline routes lead to Denver.
So we're going to be expanding these classes. We're going to be looking at them. And I'm going to talk to you guys, too, about the Pawnee match, but not now. I'll do that on another day this week. But I took off and went and did the Pawnee match with Chris. I shot the Valkyrie. Learned some things with that. And, you know, the cool thing is there was guys in the field shooting the 22 GT. I'm shooting the Valkyrie, and we're kind of, everybody's now starting to compare notes with the bolt gun Valkyrie stuff. I mean, because really, this Valkyrie was never meant for the bolt gun. And we're doing it, and guys are now starting to push that envelope. And it's working. And, you know, I did lose some points with not getting hits recognized, and it is what it is. But I think I have there's a potential for a fix. I think there's a fix for that, and it's speed. You know, I think if we punch a little more speed up under them, because the 22 GTs did not appear to have the same issue. However, they are almost 300 feet per second faster than I am. So 300 feet per second different in muzzle velocity of the same bullet is making a difference. And that's where that's coming into play. So if we can get that Valkyrie up. Now, you shot the Valkyrie. What'd you think?
I thought it was excellent. I thought it was a little, it was a nice little kid gun.
Yeah, it's a pop gun, right?
Well,
it's
like I'm hearing a strange pop over on the right end of the range. And I look over there and Frank's on his on a gun. I didn't know what it was, to be honest with you. But it sounded strange. It sounded like subsonic, sort of, but not, I mean, like right at supersonic or something. Anyway, and he offered me his rifle, and man, that thing's a hammer, dude. It's a hammer.
I
jumped right in, lengthened the link of pull a little bit.
Yeah.
Jumped right in and just started destroying the closer mid-range targets, but it was totally a hammer, man.
I'll tell you what, though, when we were doing the positional, like the game guns, we had a 6 Creed game gun here, the Terminus and all that, and that guy was like no wind at the target we were shooting, and I was 8 tenths with the Valkyrie.
Yeah.
Just in that one little scenario, the way, because I mean, it was 25 mile an hour winds. So, I mean, but once you dope it, it's hits and it's good. But you got to really be on top of your wind game with that Valkyrie because it changes too. It's like really flat and zippy in the first third of its flight. Then it sort of levels out to like a slow, kind of awkward 6.5 Creedmoor. And then it turns into like a bad 308 at the end.
Like, what's your 800? Do you know your 800?
5.6.
5.6 with the Valkyrie?
Yeah.
So that's about like at sea level, that's about like a 6.5 Creedmoor then.
Yeah. The numbers are,
similar?
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go. If you own a Creedmoor, you can shoot also a Valkyrie, which ammo's everywhere.
I'm like at 600, I'm a little 2/10, 3/10 slow. And then it goes from there. 1,000 is 8.2.
That's sea level 1,000.
Yeah.
A little bit over sea level 1,000. Or warm day sea level 1,000. My point being this. Remember how we're always pushing, know you dope, know you dope, know you dope.
Yeah.
And basically, well, there you go. Now you got a new rifle, new caliber, more ammo's everywhere, and it's a little bit less expensive?
Yeah, it's a lot less. $15 a box. Dude,
it's
I bought 4,000 rounds that are in the garage right there, $15 a box.
Well, and you're shooting your same data.
Yes.
Or similar data.
Similar data.
I'm telling you, that's a big step.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really big step because now you're saving money, getting your practice time, same data, getting hits.
And I'm getting, and the guns ran well. I was using the Bighorn and the JP chassis, and with MDT Valk mags, I had the KRG 6mm suppressor on it, the R6er, I believe it was, and then I was running that Maven, and it's a great little package. I took the Bighorn action out of my AX chassis. I shot the comp last week with my AX chassis, with the Valkyrie and the AX chassis, and I struggled with that unbalanced chassis during that event. It slowed me down. It was awkward. I wasn't doing as well as I should have been. So when I got home, I switched the Bighorn into my JP chassis, that APAC chassis. And I like that because it has a really short length of pull in the back. Like, Mark was saying, he had to extend it because it's tiny.
Yeah.
But the gun hammers now and it balances much better. I have it balanced out and it's zippy. You gotta play with it a little bit. It's about getting these 22 calibers to find the sweet spot. Because to me, 6.5 sweet spot is that 2850, 2800, 2850. You get those 6mm, 2850 to 2950, somewhere in there is kind of a sweet spot. But the 22s, I think, want to be at $3,000. And that's where the 22s, I think, that 29 to, it's actually 2950 is where my head wants it to be. 2950 to 3150.
Light bullet, you got to push
light
it fast.
Light bush, you got to push it fast. Because if you let the wind get on it, the wind's going to kill it. But if you got mellow winds like you East Coast guys have, things a laser and they're hammered.
It's not in the air long enough for a lot of environmentalists to take hold of it,
Yep. And like I said, we get the muzzle velocity up, and I'm pretty sure we're going to be able to use powders like 2000 MR and get that muzzle velocity up no problem to 2950. I think that's going to be the key to running that Valkyrie. But I'm also running it in the AX right now. It's knocking the mag out a little bit, but it's accurate as shit. I mean, if I single load that thing and just throw it on the magazine and run it and don't load the magazine, it's accurate as shit. The only problem is I'm trimming that mag so it doesn't knock it out. The mag can get knocked out of the gun when if I run it too hard. But right now, I got it tuned pretty good. I'm going to call it a 90% there with the 6 arc mag in my AX running the Valkyrie stuff.
Since you said magazines, we're operating without notes today, guys. Since you said magazines, get steel magazines for your rifles. We had trouble with all the damn plastic mags
ones. Yeah, that happens, man. The plastic ones just...
I get it happens, but if you're going to take it to the level of paying for instruction and you're going to go out and become a shooter, get yourself some steel mags.
I'm going to shout out, man. MDT is like at another level right now. Between, you know, the stocks they're doing, like that hunting one is fantastic for, you know, any of this hunter stuff. It's so feather light. Those stocks that we were shooting the ACC today, balanced and weighted, friggin' phenomenal. Then the magazines, you know, I'm making orders of magazines and grips as well. The grips are every bit. And now MDT just goes and gets the Send It levels. They bought them. Those guys are just on a roll. It's amazing the good work they're doing. So get Metal MDT mags. They're fantastic.
Good.
Yeah, you know? They're really doing good stuff, those guys.
Suppressors worked well. We had 3 breaks on the line.
Yeah, just they were loud.
Crushed our morale and souls. But basically, everything worked well. We had really good equipment. Oh, speaking of equipment, who's making rear bags now?
Uh-oh.
Taylor was here. Yeah, we got a little sand. Taylor was here.
Go ahead.
Up in Alaska, you know, if you brought your hunting rifle, but it didn't have a cheek, you know, a raised cheek or something, I'd build you a little duct tape and closed cell foam cheek weld or cheek riser. And then I'd write, or Frank would come along eventually and write, Taylor was here. So we fixed you, right? Well, you guys have heard it. You're ad nauseum. We've talked about the bags and how important the bags are squared up to the line of travel or the line of flight. And so Womantina's niece says, I want to sew something. I said, you want to sew something? She goes, yes. I said, you're going to sew rear bags for me. And she goes, I got a ton of material. What kind of material you got? She's got polypropylene. You know, everybody's stuck in Cordura world and you know, basically stuff like that, the big, heavy Cordura world. Well, my Cordura bags are coming apart, Frank. So she's making these out of Polypro, which it's nobody's bag got dirty this weekend. I brought 4 of them down. We sold them all, and they worked incredibly. We've got them built to my spec or what I like. Frank likes it too. But basically, I had them built to
a
certain
spec. I like those bags
you did. No, they're wonderful, man. And she weighed them up, and they're all dead on. I gave her an electronic scale. I said, I want them to be so consistent that no one could ever find that they need more or less beans, or there's more and less than one and the other. So she takes her time and just hammers them out. Get a hold of me. Get a hold of me on the hide if you want a bag. We'll send you one. They're $40. They're $40. Not $90. They're $40. And we're in the rectangular rear bag market now. We're going to start selling them on the hide.
There you go. There you go. Dude, this is weird, man. I hope this is recording. This is acting like it's not recording. It's showing me something that's recording, but it's acting like it's not getting when I pulled that fucking headphones out.
That would be a shame, dude.
That would be a real shame if this is fucked. I almost want to check it, but I got a counter going, and I have.
Can you check it and build this right back in?
Technically,
maybe not.
No.
Maybe not.
So. Wow. I don't know if this is working now.
Well, Stats Sergeant Taylor needs to make a drink anyway, so maybe it's a time.
Yeah, maybe I could stop. I could stop.
I don't know, Frank. I don't know.
I could. It's 34 minutes. I could stop it right.
We should send out a poll. Okay, that's right. This is not live.
So oh, it's not live. You guys can't tell. No. I mean, I've been doing a couple lives on Sniper's Hide.
We'll just go out and do this in the garage.
Yeah, that's all. So anyway, I don't know. Let me see. I'm gonna stop it and see what happens. And we're back. Oh, now everything's back up. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, we're running. It's weird because I pulled my headphones out doing this, and
I'm making a drink.
It was acting like it wasn't recording anything. So I was like, oh no, this isn't working. And so I wasn't having any meters. I wasn't having anything. So I thought this was another lost episode for a second here. I was like, oh shoot, dude, I think we might be in trouble. But no, it turned out that it worked. So, hey, everybody, you're still here. I'm glad that we were actually talking to you like we thought we were.
I had the opportunity to make another drink, so there you go.
Which is excellent, right?
Yep.
There you go.
Where were we, Frank?
You're talking rear backs.
Yep. Renee's making them. Renee's going to be famous because you guys are going to love these. The Four Cats on the line this weekend absolutely went, this has changed my whole world. I got a little video. We may have to post that as a sales tool. But one of the guys, what was his name? Brett. And where was he from?
Florida.
That's the guy that flew in from Florida. Mm-hmm. We changed his world with a rear bag. We changed four worlds with a rear bag this weekend.
I mean, well, even with Eric with the tub gun, I kind of brought... Because what we're seeing, man, is guys are hinging. And we get with certain recoiling rifles and stuff, you're putting the rear bags at these weird angles. And you're creating this hinge. And the hinge is moving under recoil. And especially when people aren't really tight on their fundamentals, there's a little bit of, you know what I mean, going on. You see a big rock in that rifle when it happens.
Yep.
Like, I mean, Tom was a good example. His gun, yep, he was kind of whole hand in the trigger.
308.
No, he was the 6.5. He was the older guy in the end.
Okay, got it.
With the 6.5 and the EC tuner.
I'm not good with names.
Yeah, no, I get it. But you can tell he was rocking. The rifle was moving a lot. And, well, you fixed Jamie with that. He hinged.
Yes.
And you fixed Jamie with the hinge.
He brought a big ASR.
Yeah, he had an ASR rifle. Nice. And it's just, think about it this way. We stress bags all the time. We stress equipment all the time, right? We have three kinds of bags. We have a rear bag, we have a front rest, and we have a support pillow. It is not uncommon for guys to have multiple front rests and support pillows, right? Maybe they got a game changer. Maybe they got a fortune cookie. Maybe they got an OG game changer in a pint size. Maybe it's a schmedium. And these bags are like $160+, right? They're expensive. These bags are not cheap. But now we're talking a rear bag. And the rear bag, like when we're gathering data, I know if you're competent, positional in it, the rear bag's out of the equation. But what we're seeing there is when we're, gathering data, we want the best practices. When you're shooting ELR or out there at distance, we want best practices. I think we get the good hits at the 1,500 to a mile because we're best practices, you know? And those guys are shooting better, and we're harping on everything.
You know what? No, you just hit on something that all right, when you said that, you're absolutely right, because fundamentals for 2 days, and then the right equipment equals hits at a mile.
Right.
No, seriously. I mean, people can struggle, but these guys shot just off the right, just off the left, second or third shot,
hit.
Dang it, a mile. Yeah. And so you just hit on something.
And then that's in the really wind, they weren't shot off the right, shot off the left, hit. They were shot off the right, shot off the left, hit. Maybe the wind changed because we had crazy winds, dude. I'm talking 4 to 24 in a 2 minute span.
Yeah.
You know, so.
4 and 5 mils, too.
Yeah. I mean, if 4 and 5 mils,
that's a lot of space to hold.
Hits. And we're telling them, follow up, get another. You did that with Michael. When, remember, you told him, hey, was that the 11, 25? Because he had that little Christensen.
Yep.
And do another one and get it. And at 11:25. Repeatable hits. Well, there's your line right there. What's the line in the presentation?
Predictable, repeatable.
Yeah.
Precision and accuracy.
Predictable, repeatable, precision and accuracy.
That's ours, fellas. Don't try to steal that.
Yeah, don't try to steal that.
You gotta
credit. They all steal it. It'll be on some new trainer's website next week.
Nah. They'd have to deal with Stassar and Taylor.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying, guys? You know, it's just we're putting in the work, and it's not about, yeah, we can get the tips and tricks, and we're doing playing a little bit more tips and tricks. I mean, some of the stuff I'm doing with Chris Way is tips and tricks, but what we're talking about is you have to know the trade. You have to get that part of it before you get to the fundamentals. You know what I mean? Or before you get to those tips and tricks, you have to execute those fundamentals. I mean, it's WTF, the win.
we had, was it Tom? No, it was T. Roy came up and said, I brought two rifles. I remember we let him play with
he had a gasser.
With his gasser on end of day two and sometime on day three. And he said, both of my zeros changed totally. And I said, no, you changed totally. And that caused your zeros to change. He said, I came here with two guns and two zeros that were hitting center. And by the end of day two, I had to change both their zeros. Well, what do we do?
We cleaned them up.
We fundamentally cleaned them up, changed the shooter zero, and then and only then we can work with a mechanical zero.
Yeah, and that was like, Don, the one thing. So we were doing the positional. I don't think I talked about this in the wind. So we were doing the positional, and we got these 24-mile-an-hour winds. So, like, Don's on the end by the where the wind was, and I'm like, hey, dude, you know, we can turn and shoot the other way into the wind. We can go out onto the line into that 24-mile-an-hour wind. And he's like, yeah, can we? Yeah, absolutely, we're going to do that, you know, but you could do it now. And so he's like, all right, I'm going to march out. So we start him at the 300, and he's in 24-mile-an-hour, full-value right-hand wind. And I'm like, all right, dude, what's your math number? He goes, well, I got a 6-mile-an-hour gun. I'm like, cool. 24-mile-an-hour wind, what I just read with the Kestrel with him, you got a 6-mile-an-hour gun. That's your fourth bracket, right? Yeah, okay. So you're shooting at 300 to start. Yes, I am. All right. So 0.3 for 6-mile-an-hour gun at 300 times 4 is your 12. So 1.2 mil of wind. Now I have little 4-inch, 6-inch. I have a 4- and 6-inch diamond at 300. Okay? We're at 24-mile full value, 1.2. Shoot it. Impact. All right. Now do your math for 4. 1.6. Shoot it. Impact. First round. And that's what it is, because the gun number stuff works. You know what I'm saying? If you follow that formula, hold correctly, because we do see people hold wrong.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hold correctly and your money. And so that's kind of just where we're at with that, is that, you know your gun numbers, man.
I just texted Renee. I said, your bag's made the podcast. I'll let you listen to it once we get it posted. And she goes, really? I'm working on 20 right now. She's sewing rear bags.
You want like a tall one. I mean, really, you should carry two rear bags. You should carry a tall and you should carry a short for the terrain. And what we call a short is really the older standard medium size that you're using. What's your dimensions? Do you know?
Off the top of my head, no. Six and a half, I think, by handful. You know, we want but they're full. They're not sloppy. Sloppy bags are sad, man. They're just like they've lost something, you know, but they're full. They're tight. You get a firm, solid rear bag under the rear of your rifle. I mean, it was excellent, dude.
Yeah, no.
I'm sorry, we're harping on it. But you know what? It's a game. Well, I don't want to say game changer. It changes game. It will change your game. It's not the game changer.
Well,
it's a whole
to be honest with you, so when we were finished doing the eval, we were doing the final eval, the fundamental eval, the final one. Eric comes up with the tub gun, and he's got that big bag rider, and that back of that tub gun comes down with the big, big bag rider on it. And he's got a little bigger. He's got David Tubbs's.
Say deep. It's a deep bag rider. Because yes. What it is, it's from his cheek to the bottom of the bag rider is like 7 freaking inches.
Yeah, it's pretty deep.
You know, so it makes you use a smaller bag.
Right. And so he's running the tub gun, and he even has the David Tubbs bipod, which is like a scissor type of bipod. It freaked Mark out.
Hey, I'm not going to knock David Tubbs. David Tubbs is God.
Yeah.
We got that. But I lost all faculties. I was like, what in the hell is that? First time I had ever seen one.
Yeah.
There's not one in a last.
And it doesn't look like it should work.
No, it's not. I just went, wow. I would like to know the whole thought behind it.
Yeah.
I'd really love to know.
I'll have to get one, because there's multiple ways of doing it, and then we can play with it.
Okay, cool.
But it was lower than Mark and I like to have people. But it gives you a wide spread. And then with his bag rider being so low, he couldn't really get the rear bag under there the way he wanted to. Now, I wasn't sure if sideways was going to work. It looked a little too short for sideways, but actually it was perfect. I'm like, hey, wait, stop. Go sideways. And I wish I videoed it, but when you watch the bag rider move on the bag, It moves like it's supposed to. It just slides that little bit.
But he almost needs a mini that he can get his hand around.
Yeah, he needs one like your size would be.
If it's 7 inches long, you're not going to get your hand around it the way you would grip the rear bag.
And he couldn't do that. But he was able to create, because it's so low, he was able to create a V in it, and it rode that V, and the rifle kind of held it there. So it did work out, and he was able to kind of put his hand on the bag.
You know what? We just created a new measurement. From the bottom of the bag rider to the cheek weld, we're going to start
looking at the differences.
Looking at the differences in those, because you know what? That may be why some of these guys are creating hinges. You know, like the when you got a Ruger Precision rifle and you're going to upgrade it to the PRS Gen 2, the Magpul PRS Gen 2. That's a great upgrade, but that stock is really deep.
Right.
It's like six or seven inches deep. It's going to change your bag dynamics. And you know, if you're used to running with a certain bag all the time, and now your bag don't fit no more just because you changed rifles, you got to wonder. Well, there you go. Mm. Same as length of pull. This is like
length of pull to the grip. I mean,
length of bag.
And it was funny too. Even unpropted, I did a video with Chris Way the other day. And we were talking different things with the rifles and balance and setup. And when he went to length of pull, he went to the grip, not the trigger.
Exactly.
Yeah. He went to
the grip. Did you tell him I was first?
I've totally said, hey, that's what Taylor
I think I need to meet Chris Wayne.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, yeah. He went to the grip. And so, all I got to say, I know I was slacking this last couple weeks on the podcast. We're out here working the problems. We're out here trying to make it easier and more efficient. You know what I mean? We're think about it. We're giving this information away. Yeah, we're teaching classes, and you guys come to our classes, but we're looking at these things. You know, what do you guys got out there for suggestions? You know, where's a problem you think that needs a solution that somebody might not have looked at before, or something you've gone, man, that always bugs me. Wonder if we could do something with that. I mean, because that's what we're doing out here. We're trying to solve problems for people and make it work. So. I don't know. What do you got to say?
I don't let nothing go by me, and you know that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it gets you hear it, you hear me correcting the same way every time on the different students. Every 3 weeks or a month, we go into a new set of students, but it's real, and we solve problems, and that's one of the greater aspects of our course. I think there's a lot of handholders out there that just want you to slap steel, and we're not happy with that.
No, man, we're not on a guided tour. Yeah. You know what I mean? Even today was a little bit of one, but it wasn't. And we still jumped in and did. I mean, I did almost 2 hours of instruction.
I tell you what,
this morning.
Come in and try to sandbag us. Come in, you bring your professional ass shooter self to our course, and we're going to find something to teach you.
Probably.
And you go, yeah, well, you're going to find one thing to teach. No, you're going to learn a lot of things because we have a lot of original thought. You know, you haven't used weaponized math yet, and you may not even care, but it's an easier way, and especially now that ammo's not everywhere, and it's not cheap anymore, it's going to save you some money.
At the end of the class, Saturday, I am setting up everybody's software using the weaponized math numbers. So I'm giving everybody software because on Sunday, I want you to
have it. And what did that do? This afternoon, it allowed everybody to go
out to the
1350, mile. 1450, 15, 16, 17, what, 80?
1785.
We got to move that thing.
It's 1785.
We got to move that thing closer.
No, 1785. Yeah. And then 1825, but we didn't shoot that one.
No.
But anyway, I mean, even Ted said his setup for one of his guns that he took to our class is still the same data-wise that he put into from our class. And so I don't talk the software, but I do it. But I do the shortcut. So I'm not teaching you the software. I'm giving you the information. I'm showing you what I do, you know. And then from there, you do the weaponized math. You take that information. You put it in the software. You line up two or three data points.
Will fall into place.
And the rest fall into place. And I even tell people, it's like, listen, if a yard line is off a tenth, ignore what we did. Go with the computer. It's probably right. We probably have a
tenth is, Frank, you're spraying a freaking spray,
right.
a water line on there, it's a tenth wide.
Yeah, if not more sometimes.
Exactly. So
yeah. So you know what I mean? We're knocking this stuff out. Cool, man. Let's
wrap it up.
Yeah, we're ready to wrap up.
Hey, enjoyed it. It's been a while. We took the winter off. It was a great winter. Got a lot of rest. You know, then we started out. We did one in
we did California.
California. Okay, good. Well, not a course, but we talked about California, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. No, we never really did.
We
didn't do a podcast.
You want to stay there? We had a great time. I mean, it was our second year there.
Yeah, Paula was outstanding. We did our course at Paula. We didn't podcast.
And so, we did one course down there. We had the same great experience, mm-hmm. same great food, beautiful people, beautiful weather. It's a great time. We'll be back. I think we already booked with
Surgeon
Steve and who's your PMI guy down there?
Oh, Tim.
Marine Corps PMI. Tim.
Yeah, Tim. Yeah. Yeah.
But we booked with them guys. We'll be back there next year. Paula's February. Guys, you want to get out in the middle of winter and get some great weather and some good
Southern California.
Some good shooting and hanging out. Southern California's the way to do it, man. We'll be back there at Paula Range outside of San Diego in February.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about it.
Let me just quickly break down where we're at. We got seats in Ohio. I got a couple seats in Nebraska. Pennsylvania, chock ass full. Pennsylvania filled up in 2 days. And all the students we had last year are all coming back for PR2. We had to create a PR2, and we're doing a PR1 for new students, and then we're doing a PR2. The PR1 students couldn't even get in to the PR2 because last year's PR1 are going to take that. So basically, we're going to do that. Ohio's got a couple seats left, only a couple. We're going to incorporate a mover up there. That's October 1, 2, 3. Man, we're on fire right now. Our courses are filling.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Let's build another Fort Morgan. Later in the year, we're going to build another Fort Morgan. So if you want to come out here and potentially shoot out to a mile, you know, it's all weather dependent. And
our weather should be done. Yeah. I mean, other than wind.
Mirage
and heat, you know what I mean? We got heat to deal with. But, you know, we're working on that a little bit. But, I mean, we don't have bad weather. I mean, I think this is our season for weather right now, May to June. And we're past this now. This is our rainy season and we don't have rain. We're drought right now. So anyway, yeah, we can create it. Where do you find our courses? Sniper's Hide.
Yeah, Sniper's Hide.
Training
in the forums,
section.
In the forums under training course announcements, TCA, training course announcements. We have a postie up at the top. That's got all of them listed. Then they're all individually ascribed to down in the bottom.
There's a sticky at the top of the training course announcements on Sniper's Hide. You can download the app in your app store, Android and iPhone. It's there. You can see the courses. You can contact Mark, talk to him about it. Hey, we're even loaning guns out or renting them out.
We're going to start doing that here in Colorado, too. Mm-hmm. If you're new to this game and you don't know that you want to go to the, you know, $5,000 level, well, then rent a $5,000 rifle.
Yeah.
And find out if you
want
to be.
I'll rent you a Sniper's Hide Mark Sully rifle here if you want and just bring ammo and you got it. But yeah, I mean, I have so many rifles here and stuff that, you know, are sitting dormant and we can definitely hand those out and let people shoot with them. So if you don't have a system, but you want to do it and learn and then decide what you want to buy.
Yeah. My rifles in Alaska are paid for, dude. I mean, we rent them out every course.
Yeah.
Every course they're rented out. So
yeah, Mark has he rents them out up there. So there you go. Even if, hey, maybe you only got a hunting rifle, but you want to learn the fundamentals, do that. Just get ammo. And Mile High's got ammo here, man. There's plenty of ammo.
We stopped in Mile High. Mm-hmm. We stopped in Mile High. And
plenty of ammo.
Yeah, they got great inventory in there right now. They got plenty of ammo. I don't know that they ship it.
No, not really. I don't think they really do.
I don't think they're an ammo shipper because I sort of went that route or tried to get them to go that route. But they got great inventory right now. Great people, man. Get into Mile High if you're in Denver.
Yeah, you can fly into town, go pick up your ammo, or just say, hey, man, I got ammo at Mile High waiting for me. I'll bring it out to the range.
We can make that happen. Oh, yeah,
I'll bring it out to the range for you. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Piece of cake. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for being part of the Everyday Sniper. Thanks to Ted. Thanks to Laura for helping. Thanks to everybody.
Hey, thanks, Renee.
Renee for making the rear bags.
Taylor was here.
Thanks to every student. I mean, it's just it's a fantastic thing. We had a good time. Everybody had a blast. You know, smiles all around. It's like Fantasy Island, man. You got me saying the plane's coming in, and you got Mark saying smiles. Everybody smiles.
I do it now. Hey, see you next time.
Yep. Bye.